Turn with me in your Bibles to Acts 20, verse 35. We love this verse here at Mosaic. Paul says this, "In everything I did, I showed you that by this kind of hard work, we must help the weak. Remembering the words of the Lord Jesus himself saying, it is more blessed to give than to receive." Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for this day. We thank you for the privilege of being a spiritual family. We thank you for the gift of life from Norma. And we lovingly thank you for her and for the event that's coming up where we get to celebrate that life. And Lord, as we always pray, we pray for spiritual eyes that see and spiritual ears that would hear everything you want to say to our hearts this morning as we talk about what it means to be radical givers in Jesus' name. And it's in your name, Lord, that we pray, saying amen. So last week we began a short fall sermon series. I call it Back to Basics. I think there are certain key Christian ideas and practices that are crucial for our lives and our lives of faith as we enter into a really busy, if not chaotic, fall time. And we talked about the importance of Jesus's great commandment. Actually, this is the greatest of all commandments, Matthew 22. There are certain verses that in sections of scripture I think that we should memorize, right? He said this, he said, "You will love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, you could add with all your physical strength, and you will love your neighbor as you love yourself." This is the first, this is the greatest of all the commandments. The second is like this, you will love your neighbor as yourself. On these, Jesus said, all the law, all the prophets, all the Old Testament hang on this very thing. And it's so true and so easy to forget. And I thought about this last week, I thought about lately, is that when did Jesus' great commandment become secondary? When did Jesus' greatest commandment somehow become a suggestion in so many Christian churches? For the life of me, I can't understand how Jesus' great commandment to love in a Christ-centered biblical way has become optional. It is not optional in the Christian life. And if the events of recent days haven't proved that, I don't know what would really, right? It's not optional. It's Jesus' greatest commandment. You'll remember, if you've been around here for any amount of time, last 8.5 years of the life of the church, we became convinced very early on when we started this church that God wanted us to do three things, or at least focus on them. In a radical sort of way. Radically, we want to be radically loving in a biblical sense. Radical, an overused word, actually means in Latin, at our very roots. At our very roots, as followers of Jesus, we want to be loving. And we talked about that if you didn't hear that sermon, because what passes for love these days ain't biblical love. We also said that from the very beginning, we wanted to be radically giving. And we wanted to be radically forgiving in our lives and all we say and do. And we've stuck to that conviction, and it's really made all the difference in our life and experience as a Christian family, I think, over the years. We've held to that. So this morning, continuing on very short 3-week sermon series, Back to Basics, I want to highlight the fact that there's really nothing more basic in the Christian life than loving well. Are you grown in love? Now, there are opportunities. We have all kinds of opportunities to grow in love, and they're all around us, and we offer those to you. But are you growing in love? Are you giving sacrificially of your life? I remember something that Henry Nouwen, Christian author, said, and it kind of struck home. He used to get mad because in his ministry, he would have things to do, and then people would always bother him. And he got mad, and he said, I realized the Spirit reminded me that what I thought were distractions is what God called me to. So if you have a need or you want to talk, you're not a distraction. And people say, well, you're so busy. It's like, well, yeah, but you're not a distraction. You're loved by God, and if we can love each other, can we just sing that song, Gary, sometime? Was it last week? How about How about love each other well? Anyway, and then forgiving deeply from the heart, because everybody's story has trauma. Everybody's experience in life has hard things. And so I want to talk about that next week, because radical forgiving, man, that if that's not Christianity 101, I don't know what is. But again, this morning, I want to talk about what it means to be a radical giver. And I confess, in all that we say and do, I confess that I've avoided this topic for most of my 35 years of ministry, because inevitably somebody will say, there they go again, they just want my money. Preachers always want my money. That's not what this is really about. But, you know, I've often said, you know, the church is not a business, right? It's God's divine institution. But there is a business to ministry. You know, Caesar doesn't pay for these lights. You know, I mean, if we lived in Europe and there was a state church, the German government would be paying for this. The problem is no one goes to church anymore. If you want the family of God, you've got to be sacrificial. You've got to be present. And I think that's really helpful, actually, in all of that. So anyway, throughout scriptures, we find people asking God for things, to give them things, that's natural. We find people giving God things like praise. We find people giving back to their neighbors in a whole host of ways. And as I looked at it, you know, the Bible talks a ton about giving. The words give, giving, given. I counted over 1,700 occurrences in the Bible with the help of Dr. Strong's concordance, of course. And what do you do during the week? Well, I was counting these words. No. I have help from good people. don't you pastors just sit around and read the Bible all week and then say a few words on Sunday? That's a gig, right? It's like, that would be sweet, but not true. I love this verse. This is a Mosaic verse. Remember this one, Acts 20:35. This is a fascinating verse. What's so unusual about this verse is that it came directly from the lips of Jesus, but it's not found in the Gospels. They're like, well, that's unusual. It is. Bible scholars call this an agrapha, an unwritten saying. Sometimes they call it an orphan saying. It's not found in the Gospels. But Paul knew it, and he shares it with us. And some people will say, well, that's kind of weird or kind of surprising. Not really. Right? The Apostle John talked about this at the end of his gospel, and that's the beloved disciple of Jesus. He said this, you know this passage? Jesus did many other things as well. If every one of them were written down, I suppose that even the whole world wouldn't have room for all the books that could have been written. Right? But John says, these things that we have before us have been written so that we might what? Believe. Believe. That's what's really important. I mean, you know, as they say, you know, they still sell that rag at the news at the checkout, the National Enquirer. You know, alien babies and Jesus. I don't know. You know, inquiring minds want to know. It's like, what do you really want to know? You know, we have been given everything we need for life and godliness in the Word of God. Amen. Scriptures have it there for us. Anyway, unusual verse. I think we should commit it to memory. So context, Paul's farewell address to the Ephesian elders. Here's what Dr. Luke, who wrote this down, said. The full verse. In everything that I did, I demonstrated to you by this kind of hard work how we must help the weak. Pause. In your work and in your life, how are you helping the weak? Right? We've said this before. The Church of Jesus Christ exists for three things, right? To worship God first and foremost. That's why we're here, right? Because it sure ain't for the coffee, but I like the coffee. But, you know, if you want Starbucks, and my wife doesn't even like Starbucks, but it's like, why are we here? To worship, to share the faith, to evangelize, to share the good news of Jesus, and then third and finally, to love on and help the least of these, the weak, the poor, the needy, whoever that may be. And you're like, well, I like helping, you know, weak and poor people. Have you ever asked where you're weak? You're part of that, right? Yeah, and so Paul says in all of these things, I worked hard so that to show you how he must help the weak. And then, remembering the words of the Lord Jesus Christ himself, it is more blessed to what? Give than to receive. Oh, do you know that truth in your own life? Do you know that in giving, and particularly sacrificial giving, we are blessed? Ooh, when you learn that truth, look out, your life just went exponential in Christ. When it's not about what you can get, but you joyfully decide, what can I give? And you know what? You can't outgive God. You're like, well, people are always asking for stuff. I know. We live in a dysfunctional world. And it's not just your family. It's all of ours, right? And some people, we need to find boundaries. But the point is that God has filled us with Jesus and we give it away for free. How about that? That's God's economy is what I'm suggesting today. You know, most of us have received gifts and we feel guilty about that, right? Somebody gives you something nice and you're like, ugh. You feel obligated, like you got to give them something back. Doesn't that sound like Christmas? C.S. Lewis said that, in his British sort of way. You know, you thought you were done shopping, then Miss Busybody dropped something through the mail slot, and you thought you were done, and now you got to run out and get something for her. Why? Why do we have a problem receiving gifts? Does this sound Christian, right? Did we not receive everything we've ever needed from the Lord Jesus Christ? Why can't we accept gifts? I'm a good one to talk. Story came to my mind this week. Deb and I will never forget the Christmas of 1997. Okay. Josh, our youngest, had been born recently. I was a dirt poor doctoral student living on the north side of Chicago, and times were tough to say the least. Wow, they were tough. We headed back to our native Michigan to spend the holidays with our families, and on Christmas morning, we were at my folks' house, and Zach was 3 years old, and he was unwrapping presents and just loving it, and Josh was 3 months old and just kind of looking at the Christmas decorations, just wide-eyed, gazed. It was so much fun to watch that. And just before breakfast, my mom handed me a small rectangular present and seemed unusually excited. And so I carefully opened it, and a pair of keys fell to the floor. And Deb and I looked at each other in confusion until we opened the rest of the package, and it was a service manual for a brand new minivan. Now, I know some people are like, they have kids, like, I'll never drive a minivan, that's for old people. Man, we were praising God. This was awesome, you know? Vehicles are a terrible investment. You do know that, right? If you look out and you find that 1991 crappy Chevy S10 out there, growing weeds in the back, that's mine, and I embrace it, amen? They hated it the other place. But anyway, before our eyes, they said, okay, let's go out to the back behind the barn, and there it was. There was a brand new light green Dodge Caravan, red bow on the front. Needless to say, we were stunned, and I think it took us both about 5 minutes to pick our jaws off the ground. We couldn't believe it. After profusely thanking my parents, I remember looking at my mom, and she said something I'd never forget, right? And it left me, of all people, speechless, I know. My mom said this. She said, this is the best present I've received all year. My mom said that. What? I said, what are you talking about, Mom? Best present you have received. This is one of the best presents I've ever received in my life, right? But what I learned was this. She was taking Jesus' words literally as a Christian woman. Acts 20:35. She knew by direct experience that it is more blessed to what? Give than to receive. Oh, when you bless people, there's nothing quite like it. Well, anyway, this vehicle was a huge blessing to my family for over 10 years straight. We ran that thing back and forth in the city of Chicago. We took it across country, all kinds of stuff, and it was great until it stopped working, and I took it to my Mexican mechanic in Chicago. He didn't speak English. And I asked him what the problem was in my broken Spanish, and he said, ratas. I said, rats? What are you talking about? He said, ratas. Well, it seems that a family of squirrels took abode underneath it and chewed up all the wiring. It was toast. So my light green minivan went the way of all flesh. at that moment, right? But my mom's words continued to haunt me because they were the words of Jesus. It's more blessed to give than receive. What a blessing that was for 10 straight years for my family. Why do I tell this story? Because like my mom, Mosaic is a radically giving church, right? As Christians, at our very, very roots, right? We need to be generous and even committed to extravagant giving, right? For no other reason than the fact that our God is the most generous and extravagant gift giver ever imaginable, right? Think about it. Well, I mean, how many times do you count your blessings, right? I promise you, I've said this before, when you're in a foul mood, and it happens, I get it, why don't you take a piece of paper and write down 10 things you're grateful to God for? It will change your attitude, I promise. Well, my life sucks, man. You don't understand. It's like, probably do. But what are you grateful for? Food? Clothing? Shelter? If this weren't enough, he's given us new life only found in Jesus Christ. Or have we forgotten one of the most important, famous verses in the New Testament, right? John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he what? Gave his only begotten Son, that whoever would believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life. Now, recently, I finally realized this, I actually give stuff to Bruce all the time. I sort of have this reading little thing. I realized that I enjoy reading certain kinds of biographies and autobiographies, particularly of performing artists as well as sort of spiritual great figures. And recently, this was interesting, I read Franklin Graham's autobiography. This is sort of, you know, a pun off the old James Dean. He said, rebel with a cause. Rebel without a cause. You remember all that? Some of you young people are like, no. I'm dating myself. But rebel with a cause, right? And this is how God finally got a hold of the rebellious young son of the late, great Billy Graham. You know, Billy Graham, the world's greatest evangelist, who preached to more people than anybody in history, including all the apostles combined, he had a rebellious child. You know anything about that? You got any kids walking away from Jesus, doing all craziness and whatnot? Yeah, you do. Reading his biography, part of his story includes stories of great men and women who were deep influences in his unfolding life. Be encouraged. You have an errant child. You know, God's not done with them, right? God raises up other men, women, children to speak into their lives. I'm so encouraged by this from my own experience. You know, how often is it, you know how you want to choke them out sometimes? Don't lie. We're in church. And they come up to you and they come up with some great breakthrough truth that you taught them since their infancy about the Lord. Well, you know, I talking to so-and-so and they told me this and I just was really thinking about that. I'm like, I've been saying that all your life. But let it be. God's working. The Spirit's working. This is Franklin's story, right? Remember this. Humbly remember this. If you think back about your life, right, as it's unfolded. You know, remember the old saying, we stand on the shoulders of giants? Man, I think about that. There's so many people in your life that has had such a profound influence. They might not be great in the world's eyes for whatever that's worth, but they led you, they guided you, they taught you. Do you remember them? Are you grateful? There's a reason why we're gonna have a funeral next Saturday for Norma. She was the matriarch of this church. Oh, if you knew half of her life, both wonderful and and we had a talk before she died, and I won't share the I know I'm not a priest, but I won't do that. A woman of profound Christian faith, and in her will she said, I want the service at Mosaic downtown. I want the doors open. I want everybody to be able to come. She could have had a different venue, bigger. I think this place is going to be splitting at the seams. Come early, right? I think it's going to be awesome because, yeah, we're going to remember her. That's a memorial service, but we're going to celebrate her, right? I don't mean to sound irreverent, but a woman of faith who died and went to be with Jesus at 95, that's a pretty darn good run, amen? Yeah. Oh man, my first one was, my first one was a tough one. My niece, Ewing sarcoma cancer, 6 years old. It's like, Lord, can't you give me a Norma for my first one at 24? You know? No, into the water you go. You know, that's sometimes how God teaches us. But, next Saturday, I'm looking forward to it. You're like, you're looking forward to a funeral? Yup, I am, because we have hope in Jesus Christ, right? Her room is ready. She's with the Lord, and she's waiting for you and I, right? What a party that will be. Do you believe that? Or are you just crazy, Jim? No, I believe that. I truly do. So Franklin Graham, you know, he shares about the giants of his life and how God used those, because being the son of the world's most famous Christian evangelist, I bet that'd be a pretty hard gig, right? If you're the son or daughter of very famous, notable people, I don't care who they are, it's a tough gig. It's really hard. But so many influences in his life, and if you don't know him yet, you probably do more than you think. He was handpicked by the founder of Samaritan's Purse, Dr. Bob Pierce, to succeed him as president in this worldwide ministry. And Samaritan's Purse also sponsors Operation Christmas Child, right? That we love here. We love to bless third world children with gifts and the good news of Jesus Christ. So in his life, one of his main mentors was Dr. Bob Pierce. And Dr. Bob, when he was dying of leukemia, he said to Franklin, he said, I want you to gather together my notes. I don't have that much time. My conversation's recorded, and I want you to write my story. It's like, huh, you know, that's quite a request. You're going to say no. And so there it is. Franklin Graham, with a little help, wrote this biography about Dr. Bob. This one thing I do. I was blown away by this book. This guy was so faithful. You talk about a radical giver. He actually started off with World Vision. You ever heard of that big Christian group? And you know, he was so radically giving that the board of trustees said, you're giving too much away. We're having a hard time, you know, documenting all this stuff, you know? And finally, they basically fired him from his own organization. Because he was such a radical giver. His stories are profound. And then he started Samaritan's Purse. He's like, well, I can do this somewhere else. Anyway, it is amazing what God can do with a single person if they are fully devoted followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. You give your life to Jesus, and all of a sudden things can go exponential. And you cannot outgive God, I promise you that, right? One of the final chapters in this book about Bob Pierce, I love this. I read this when I was in Argentina on the flight. And I was like, this was a cool chapter at 36,000 feet. Chapter 11, give, give, give. Now, the context for this chapter, which I just absolutely loved, was that he relates a conversation he once had with a wealthy businessman, influential businessman, who was really mad at a financial appeal from his church, right? He said, Dr. Bob, as far as I can see, this Christian business, what's it really about? It's just one continuous give, 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 right? Because they just want our money, right? Heard that one before. And I actually didn't say much about money for years because I was concerned about that. And then I had to repent because money's spiritual, right? We use the physical things to promote what? The spiritual. Oh, this is huge once you realize that. And here's what Dr. Bob said. He's, much to the businessman's shock and surprise, he said this. He said, thank you, thank you. That is the best definition on the Christian life I've ever heard. Give, give, give. You cannot outgive God. God will keep pouring into your life. I dare you to test that one, right? God gave his son Jesus Christ a ransom for you and I. We can't pay back that debt, but we can give our lives. And it's a joy to give our lives. What a privilege it is to be part of and to give to God's continuing work while we are still here on the earth. You know, Norma in her will, I mean, she had specific things that will be honored that she wanted to happen after her passing, and that will be continually unfolding. I cracked up. I mean, Norma was a woman who was one of the last trained in the great sacred music tradition. Do you remember her singing Psalm 23 and all that with Annie, and love that. But you know what she said to me as she was dying? She said, I have a request for music. I'm like, whatever you want. She said, I want Jody to sing Victory in Jesus. I'm like, you couldn't have musical differences bigger. I mean, Jody's like the queen of honky tonk, right? It's awesome. And, you know, Norma was a classically trained soprano. And why did she want that? Because she loved the message that we have victory in Jesus Christ. And we're going to have different songs. And there was talk about Gary, Spirit in the Sky, that she loved that one. I'm just cracking up a 95-year-old. And, you know, at some point, it's like the fine art of cutting your losses. You know, we can't be here for like 3-4 hours, you know, but the family's kind of deciding on that kind of songs and talked with Anne Marie, and it's going to be great. But anyway, I go on because it matters, right? We have been blessed, is what I'm saying. Now, when it comes to giving, if you have children, think about this. This makes sense. When you have a child or children, isn't it all about giving? I think young people, especially Z's today, a lot of them aren't having children because they're afraid to give. They can say, I don't have money. They have enough money. I'll have a child when I have, you know, when I have enough assets to do it. It's like, you know, you'll never have enough. I talked to a young lady with small children this week, and we were talking, and I said, you know, they only get more expensive as they get older. Have you noticed this? It's like, yeah, they cost you money now, just wait. This is a school of sanctification. We, you know, our children, if you stay in prayer and on your knees, will grow you in Jesus Christ. If not, you'll commit murder and go to prison, and many people have chosen that route. I don't suggest it, but I'll come and visit you and pray with you. Children, right? What a joy and a privilege it is to love on children and our kids. Their needs change over time, but we continue to give to our children. You know, anything that's worth doing, anything that is alive, will require you to give your time, your service, and your money. Whether it be a human being, an organism, or even an institution such as the Church of Jesus Christ. When those things are dead, then it no longer requires you to give it anything, right? Right? What we can do next week is give Norma honor. And that's the last thing we can really do as we give her to Jesus. But nothing more is required. There's no more flowers. There's no more lunch, that kind of stuff. So likewise with churches, if people stop giving, they die in America. Because, you know, Caesar's not paying for our lights, unlike they do in Europe. That kind of thing. That's why both angry Christian businessman and Dr. Bob were both right. Their hearts were simply in a different place, that's all, right? They both agree that this Christian business in life is indeed one continuous give, 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 right? Now, the Church of Jesus Christ, as we said in Adult Ed, is not a business. It's the church, the bride of Christ on earth. But there is a business to ministry, right? I've seen really successful, really good pastors, but they just... they don't teach their people that, you know, you gotta give. Time, money, whatever. I know people, I've had people say, they'll write a check before they ever feed the homeless. It's like, no. Mother Teresa did this, by the way. This is fascinating. You know, when they want to give them checks, they're like, nope, you keep that. I want you to take that money. And I want you to go to buy a big bag of rice. I want you to cook it. I want you to feed the poor in Calcutta in Jesus' name, because that's what you need spiritually. Well, I'll just write a check. Nope, no thanks. Well, if I can't write a check and I don't want to serve the poor, what do I do? She said, have a great day. That's spiritual power, I think. What is needed, right? If you've been around Mosaic Church for any length of time, you know this to be true in one way or another. And you'll remember when we started this church 8.5 years ago, we said from the onset, we would be radically giving in all that we say and all that we do. We agreed to certain really basic principles. Remember, we said we would never keep more than 6 months' operating expenses in our budget, because we've seen people hoard. When churches hoard, that's a sin, right? They're not sharing, they're not giving. They're trusting. In a previous church, I said, you know what? I understand a rainy day fund. We want to be wise. We read the Proverbs, right? But we've got so much money now in the upper six digits, that it went from a rainy day fund to a golden calf that needs to be destroyed in Jesus' name. It needs to go out to bless people. Ooh, boy, that made people mad. Mess with their pocketbooks, watch them get violent. It's amazing. Because as I heard in a Promise Keepers rally back in the early 90s in Chicago Soldier Stadium, guy said the last thing that's sanctified in a Christian's life is their pocketbook or their wallet. Right? So let's just be honest here, because it's important. Here's what you've been a part of in the last 8.5 years, and I make it brief. Thousands and thousands of dollars in Christmas ham giveaways with the help of the Merc. Right? Halloween candy to kids, help to single moms, aid to widows, food for the hungry, children's medical and dental bills, travel funds to people who lost out-of-state loved ones. I don't have enough money to get so-and-so. Here it is. Go. Pay your respects in Jesus' name. Christian burial expenses, resources to oversee missionaries, help to poor pastoral families and Christian workers in this valley. That's been a joy. When I was in New York, I was dirt poor as a pastor. Guess what we've got to do to pastors in need? Guess what you did a couple years ago to a poor pastor and his wife? Their stove broke and they couldn't afford a new one. And guess what we did? We bought it for them joyfully. Bang, right there. We don't talk about it because you don't want the left hand knowing what the right hand is doing, right? Remember that part in Scripture? We've got to do that sort of thing. We've given out countless cups of cold water, literally and spiritually, to the least of these. I could go on and on and on. But we have other miracle stories. In the past, we used to have different sort of wealthy and influential people writing checks. By my guesstimate, in the last 8.5 years, and we haven't seen this recently, that'd be cool if we did, but I would say outside non-Mosaic people who see what we do and love what we do, I think they've put about $250,000 in my hand that I give to Sarah, every penny, boom, boom. And we get to do all kinds of cool stuff. We haven't seen that in a while, but that would be cool to see some of that. Again, it comes and goes in time, right? Here's the thing. If you are a person of Christian integrity, people will entrust you with stuff. You soil your hand once and take a penny of that, and it will be gone. We know how this works, right? And I take that really seriously. I love, she didn't know about this, but Mosaic's newest mother. There she is, Mrs. Kelly Bryan. Oh, and there's Ronan and Daddy too, right? I loved what she shared with me. She said this. She was talking to someone, and I'm probably getting an approximate right. She shared with somebody and said, well, I go to Mosaic Church. And someone responded, oh, isn't that the church that likes to give things away? That's pretty cool, right? I mean, you could say all kinds of things about churches, but, oh, that's the church that likes to give things away. Yeah, it is. Mosaic is known for its radical giving. It's an absolute joy and privilege to give to others in the name of Jesus, who gave and continually gives his all to us. So, let me cut to the chase. I don't normally do this, but let me do this. If you don't give to God in the form of a tithe, why not? Why not? That's the biblical standard for giving back to God. Tithe, Middle English word, 10%. Oh, I could never give God 10%. Why? He gave you 100%, 110%, right? Oh, yes, you can do it. You might not be able to make it to Starbucks every day or make a run for the border, which you probably shouldn't anyway. But anyway, I won't go. It might be a blessing to you, right? Dr. Bob Pierce called 10%, he called it the biblical baseline. When you hear about this guy's giving, it was unbelievable. He said this, and I quote, he said, make room in your heart as a Christian for the helpless, the hopeless, the homeless, the widowed, and the orphan. Stand by them. It's the command of God. It's the demand of God. It will involve giving. And let me say proudly, I think in its 8.5 years, I think Mosaic Church has and is setting the standard in this valley for radical giving. I love it. It is awesome. Let me also say, in all honesty, you know, as people come and go, as they do in churches, we've lost some older members, some to death, some have moved, others transfers. So the funds have gone down. I'm just going to be honest with you, right? Usually, we like to operate with a couple months' expenses in the bank. That's just kind of wise. We have declined from there, right? Ministry is great as it's ever been here, but we stand in need of your faithful giving. We really do. Your money, not just your money, your time, your prayer, and your service. Do you pray for Mosaic Church weekly, even daily? I hope you do. How have you served God through the church? I know it's coming up. I mean, we have a hoot during Halloween, right? We give out the best stuff. I think Janie dubbed it Candy Palooza. I like that, right? I've had young families say, "You guys give away the best stuff." We're like, "Uh-huh." And if I'm just being worldly, it's good PR and advertising, isn't it? I don't give any money to like the Republic or anybody who's like this. It's like, no, our acts become the advertising, right? Right? Amen? Yeah. Right? Ministry is great right now. Dr. Bob says, you can't take your money with you. You know this, but you can send it on ahead. You can choose to do this, right? And yes, to be a Christian is to give, give, give. Not just money, but service, and especially your life, right? Would you prayerfully consider becoming a radical giver so that we as a church, as Mosaic, we can continue on our ministry and our calling of radical giving? Now, he's not in town, so I can't embarrass him, but since I talk about the Reeves family, I think of Jason Reeves, my friend and my brother in Christ. He shared this with me several times over the course of our life as Mosaic. He said, "Pastor Jim, I want my second half of my life to be about putting points on the board for the Lord." Well, there it is. You want to put some points on the board for the Lord? Get in the game, people. There's stuff all around us, right? Amen. I couldn't say it any better. Because as Jesus reminds us, memorize this verse, Acts 20:35, it is more blessed to give than to receive. So why not become a radical giver today? Amen? Let's pray. Father in heaven, thanks for this day. You call us to know Jesus, and Jesus gave his all, so we want to give our all for the cause of Christ. And Lord, that might look different for different people. It might be stepping up and actually giving for the first time. It might be stepping up and giving a little more. It might be service, joining some service thing in our community or in this church. It might be just giving time to you, Jesus, in some way. I pray that you would touch and convict our hearts through the power of your Holy Spirit so that we may be more fully devoted followers of the Lord Jesus Christ in all that we say and do as individuals as well as a church spiritual family. And we pray this in Jesus' name, saying, amen.